Welcome to our show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Ref. Thank you for being a part of our broadcast. Every time that we're on the air, we're excited just to talk to you about the things of God. Today's second segment, we're going to have Mr. James Rubart. We'll ask him how to pronounce it correctly before we get him on the air. And I believe it's James Rubart. He's written the book Memories Doors. He's written several other bestsellers. And we want to be able to talk to him about these things. So we'll have him on the second segment. You're going to enjoy him as well. Just been a little busy here getting everything rolled up. And just want to talk to you, if I could, just for a few minutes before we go to our break for the second segment. And that is just about what it takes to do the work of the Lord and what it takes to get things rolling and running. And you know, a couple of months back, I was trying to move the ministry forward on different things, and I looked at some of the things that weren't working, and I said, you know, I've done this for X amount of years and it hadn't made what it needed to make, and I was disappointed. So I was like, well, you know, not only disappointed, but disappointed in the faith in general of how much time I put into it and it hadn't produced yet. And we want to see production. We want to see what God has for us, but we all like production. We all like increase. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with not having what you need at times, and still believing and trusting, because that's faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is moved by your prayers and faith. But there's a time where you have to sit back, where you have to analyze, where you have to adjust your mind to the mind of God. Well, you know, the Bible says, and you can tell I'm texting, Bible says, the Bible says in Psalms, a man's heart devises its way, but the end thereof is death. Not always will our mind have God's plan in it. Not always will our mind adjust automatically to the mind of Christ. Now, we have to seek the mind of Christ. We have to pray to have the mind of Christ. A good friend of mine that was on the show last couple of weeks, Mr. Reno Amokri, he has a ministry called Mind of Christ Ministries. Now, I like that because we have to focus on having the mind of Christ. My address here is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172. Kingwood, Texas, 77325. We have an 800 number, 888-642-4767. Again, 888-642-4767. You can email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. And when you take your time and you try and find where can you be, where can you change things in your vision, in your dream, in the thing that's not producing. A lot of times things don't produce, not because it's before the time of the Lord, that Lord had it, not because it's not a good time for it. It's sometimes because we're not doing it correctly. We don't have the right plan. And give you a testimony. I was really looking at the Rev Media TV platform. It's a beautiful idea, giving everybody a low-cost way to broadcast their church, their ministry, their sermons. And it sounded like a great thing on paper. Sounded like a great thing in my mind. And we had it at a dollar amount of less than about $100. I think $99 maybe that we had it. And we had all these other packages, and I'm like, why ain't anybody purchasing this stuff? Why is it being hard for people to see it, that the value is there? So I stepped back. When I got back from the broadcast, when I got back from the mission trip this last month here, 2 weeks ago. And it goes so quick. I've been back 2 weeks, but when I'm out there, it seems like it's forever that I'm out there. It is a journey. God has called me to take the nations, my brother, my sister, Africa, India, Russia, China, wherever God sends me. 2 weeks of teaching ministers and preaching and holding services. And he also called me as a broadcaster and an author and a publisher and a healing minister and an exhorter, an encourager. So I had to sit back and say, why is this not moving? You know, I put something on Facebook, and I'm going to tell you what I put in just a minute. And I might have to write it down so I tell you exactly what I put on there. And I wasn't happy. Wasn't happy. Not at all. Not at all with what was going on in the broadcasting part of our ministry. My show was doing good. I mean, people were viewing it and stuff. But I wasn't happy with what was going on in everything else. There wasn't people signing up as I thought they would. There wasn't churches taking advantage of the great platform that we had. My upgrades that I need weren't getting paid because there wasn't no income coming in to pay them. And I said, there's something wrong, because God bless us. We're able to bring in X amount of dollars. X amount of dollars. And when for the trip, I mean, we brought in an amazing amount of dollars in less than 3 weeks. We were able to bring in almost more funds than we bring in almost any month in less than 3 weeks without making one call. Without making one call to anyone. To anyone. Without making one call to anyone. I tell you what, God did an awesome thing. Because when you're doing the work of the Lord and you depend on God to be the one to supply, it's hard waiting, and you're trusting. And see, when I do that, when I trust God, it makes it to where I am totally dependent on the Lord in all my ministry. So when I looked at the Revenue TV, and it wasn't quite the platform that I needed, that it wasn't moving. It's the best platform. It's better than RevMediaNetwork.com. It's RevMediaTV.com is the future. And today's technology, RevMedia Network, God is where it could take us. And I had some expenses come up for RevMedia Network that I just said, Lord, that's it. We have to have a better plan. And I sat and I prayed 4 days. Not every hour of the day, but just kept it on my mind. Kept it in my spirit. Juggled it around in my faith, saying, God, give me the plan. I said, I am going to come to you today. And I took a day that I just went before the Lord. I skipped my workout, which is not too difficult to do. But I skipped my workout, and then for 4 days, I just took it before the Lord. I'm supposed to be working out. Took that my normal time of prayer plus my workout time and just said, God, I need to know what to do. I am not satisfied. It doesn't sit well. It's not producing, but I know it can. Now, this is different than the fig tree. The fig tree could not produce anymore and did not do it in the Bible when Jesus told the fig tree. Because there's sometimes when you say you've done everything you can and it's time. That's it. That's it. Cut it off. Don't produce no more. Go somewhere else. Do something else. But this isn't the case because I know the platform. And then I came up with a plan with the Lord. Talked to the Lord about that plan within those 4 days. Talked to him about that plan for 2 more days. So that's 6 days that I spent with the Lord on this. And on the seventh day, I put that plan into the ears of other people to see what they say that were on my board, that were good friends, that were not broadcasters. Just see what they say. Then I talked to a couple of broadcasters. They're already with me. And the plan worked better. Guess what, my friends? We're able to give what we're doing in broadcasting virtually away. We went from having a $100 package, $200 package, $300 package to get everything that we do to $50 package. To a $50 package. This $50 package is valued at $300. And I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just trying to tell you about changing the way you're thinking and doing things. We undercut the entire market. Why? Because we can. And we're in this for ministry. We have people that at our $100 right now, we're going to bring them down to $50 because we want to be fair and just start at $50. And we're going to give everybody everything in unlimited memory and listeners. So I want to say this, my friends, and I'm going to read it to you to make sure I get it right. Because after I did that, I had so much peace in my heart. My spirit was soaring yesterday. I got on the phone call with one of our main providers that brings us a lot of churches and gave them the plan, told them the cost increase for some of this stuff and the big decrease from the big package and that they get everything. They were ecstatic. They couldn't believe it. And I added to the ministry when it looked like I was taking away on paper. But I added in the natural. And the supernatural, God added. I love it. I love it. And now we have money to do the upgrades slowly, but we'll get them done. And maybe faster as we add churches. And I had to write this on Facebook. Awesome to know you're in the will of God. Decisions and changes are not burdensome, but are satisfying. You become a blessing to those around you. You promote and move forward everyone's vision, not only yours. I'm going to read that to you one more time. Awesome to know, and it's important to know you're in the will of God. Decisions and changes are not burdensome, but are satisfying. You become a blessing to those around you. You promote and move forward everyone's vision, not only yours. So, just saying that, my friends, I will tell you this. It is God that gives you that satisfaction when you're in the right plan. And I believe that I set the station right. The TV station, streaming platform, that it's set right. And I'm just standing here waiting and believing for the blessings of God. Because I have been able to make it affordable for everything we do. And future things as well. To any of the broadcasters. And my heart has so much peace in being able to do something like that. It's always a blessing. It's always a blessing to have you on the air with me, to hear of these great testimonies, these great things that God is doing. And I trust God. I trust God because He is God, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And when I seen this happen, I was like, Lord, at first it seemed like, how can this be? Make it less and give them more? And you know what? That's fine. We can do that. God don't mind doing that, because in His math, He always works it out for your benefit. We'll be right back. Here's Terry Squires in One Impact.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do?
Ever thought about numbers? They surround us, phone numbers, social security numbers, house numbers, credit scores, our age, our bank accounts. Throughout life, we can't get away from numbers. Some numbers help us and certain numbers hurt us. But I have great news for you today. Welcome to One Impact Life. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute show that will impact your life and the lives around you. Numbers are woven throughout God's story from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelations. God uses numbers to reveal His strength and His purpose. It is filled with extraordinary stories of ordinary people, just like you and me, that God chose to use to impact the world. But I've noticed He especially likes to use the number one. God chose one man, Abraham, and promised him that he'd be the father of many nations, that from one man, his descendants would number more than all the stars in the skies. But it seemed impossible to others that an old man and his wife too old to bear children would be blessed with a son of their own. But because of Abraham's faith, he became the father of God's chosen children. In the book of Judges, God chose one man, Gideon, to fight the Midianites. So Gideon gathered up 32,000 warriors. But that number wasn't the number God chose. He told Gideon to narrow it down to 300 men, even though they were up against 72,000 Midianites. God knew that 300 was the perfect number for victory, and it was. It just took one boy's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for Jesus to feed 5,000. God chose one boy, David, to defeat Goliath when the whole entire Israelite army was too afraid to face him. God chose one woman, Ruth, to ensure that Jesus' birth line remained guaranteed. God chose one brave queen, Esther, who saved the lives of thousands of Jews when she dared to enter the king's quarters and begged him to change the law that would have killed them all. But most importantly, God chose one man, Jesus, His one and only Son, to save humankind and give us eternal life. One life, one way, one salvation, one sacrifice, one Lord, one Lamb, one Savior, one name upon which every knee in heaven and earth will bow. And today, the number one is still important to God. He just needs one person like you, willing to use what you have to impact another life. Now you might be thinking, Terry, how could God use me? I've made so many mistakes, more mistakes than I could ever count. Listen to me. That is when God can use you most. Even if the numbers in your life don't seem to be adding up right now, God has your number. He is the one who knows you best and loves you most. Do you hear that? He is the one that knows you best and loves you most. He fashioned you in your mother's womb and ordained all your days, every single one, before one of them came to be. Psalm 139:16. He made you unique and special with gifts and dreams and contributions that you alone can share with the world. Won't you join me today to change the world one life at a time? He's waiting for you. I'd love to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments, visit me at www.oneimpactbible.com. So until next time, I'm Terry Squires. Change a life and make your one impact.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked NASCAR driver Randy LaJoy to comment on the Christian life and his career.
I was brought up the right way, but in the last 5 or 6 years, I'm listening a whole lot more, you know, with our Bible study groups and a new church we're going to. And, you know, my wife got sick and the kids are racing. So the outlook is a little bit different than what it was. When I did race, I always believed I had guardian angels with me, and I would say a prayer to all of them right before the race. So there is a lot to be said for guardian angels and prayer, that's for sure.
Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Just something to think about. Now go to asecondlookatsports.org.
Stop right there, young man. Are your hands clean? Crazy as it sounds, researchers have been lurking in public restrooms, spying on people to make sure they wash their hands after using the facilities. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back in a moment to share their findings.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Researchers recently staked out public restrooms in four U.S. cities and found that only 15% of us failed to wash our hands before leaving. That's not bad compared to 2007, when nearly a quarter of people failed to address their hand hygiene. Women were the cleaner sex, with 93% washing up, compared to just 77% of men. While those statistics could use some improvement, I found the thought of people spending hours in dirty bathrooms watching and waiting while the rest of us go about our business downright bizarre. Yes, it's important to wash your hands before leaving the bathroom because it helps prevent the spread of disease, not because the bathroom police are watching. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Family expert Trace Embry with insight for today's culture.
Good character is what any good parent wants for their kids. But don't parents first need to know what determines good character and how it's built? The godly parent knows that these answers are found in Scripture. But these paths to good character often contradict pop psychology and political correct worldly wisdom. The uncomfortable truth is that building good character most often comes not from our triumphs, but through our tragedies, our struggles in life. Is worldly wisdom what we want as the desired end for our young people? Aren't they, from the worldly perspective, wise enough? It's time we allow our kids to endure and sort through the natural consequences of their actions so they may grow in godly character and acquire the mind of Christ.
Get biblical answers to the tough questions you and your family deal with every day. Go to licensedtoparent.org. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry. Insight for today's culture.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yannis, and we got Mr. James Rubert on the line. And James, am I saying your last name right, Rubert?
You're close. Rubart.
Rubart. Okay, see, I told everybody we're going to ask you before we come on how to properly say your name. I apologize.
No worries.
We're switching phones, trying to get him on the best one, and I'm glad he was able to get back with us on this one. You're coming in really clear, so that's perfect. James, if you can just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know a lot of your fans are already listening, but to those that do not know much about your ministry and your work, just share with us a little bit.
Yeah, born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle area. I am married 27 years, have two amazing sons and an amazing wife, and I like to do crazy things like water ski, dirt bike, jump out of airplanes, backpack. So definitely a little bit of adventure and thrill seeker in there.
Amen. And how long have you been following the Lord?
I decided to follow Jesus at a very early age. I was in seventh grade, and I went to a basketball camp, and the guy said, hey, this is what it's about. I agreed and been following him ever since.
Amen. I can tell that excitement that you have is what you live with, the going backpacking, everything else. You can see that it's in your voice. You like adventure.
I do.
Amen. So tell us how long you've been writing and how long you've been writing books.
David, I have been writing since sixth, seventh grade. I read the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis as a kid, and that just captured me. And I just thought, if I could do anything with my life, I would love to try to transport people to other worlds and make them think deeply, the way Lewis did for me. But here's the problem, David, is I was too scared to step into that dream, because what if the dream didn't come true? Then what would I have? So for many, many years, I dabbled in writing, and I did it in secret. I practiced, but I never showed it to anybody. And then in about 2002, some wild circumstances happened the Lord used to kind of say, Jim, are you going to step into your dream or not? And that's when I really took it serious.
Mm. So, you know, fear can hold you back. Fear.
Well, it does. It does. So many things hold us back from stepping into that destiny that God has for us. And there's a quote that Ray Bradbury said that I love. And what Bradbury says is, you have to jump off cliffs all the time and build your wings on the way down.
Mm.
And so that's what I've been trying to do that more and more in my life, and certainly in this this writing career.
Especially with writing, anything like creative, that you take the creative process to put down on paper, and then you open it to other people to view it. It's like you're just opening yourself up for scrutinization, for criticism, and it kind of I can see where that keeps you pushed back a little bit.
You're absolutely right, because you know people say, well, I want to get to know you, Jim. It's like, hey, real easy, just read my books and you'll really know who I am. So you're putting yourself out there in a very public forum, and here's the reality: some people, you know, love my books, some people don't, and that's any artistic endeavor, you're gonna run into that.
Yeah, and what I liked about your book in reading through it, and I hadn't finished it, you know, because with all the mission trip that I did, I was able to think halfway, and I just love your creativity, and you do take us to a different place. You do make me imagine that I'm that person. So that's something that it takes real talent to do that. Now, this is not your first book. Tell us about a couple of your other books before this one.
Yeah, this is my fifth book, which just kind of amazes me on some level that it's happening. But my first book was called Runes, and that's kind of the one that set everything in motion for me. And that's the story of a young Seattle software tycoon who inherits a home down on the Oregon coast that turns out to be a physical manifestation of his soul.
Wow.
And when I tell people that, they either go, oh my gosh, that sounds like the coolest thing I've ever heard, or they go, oh, a little too bizarre for me. But that book allowed me really to explore a lot of the themes that had been going on in my life. And, you know, like the first kid, I love that book.
And, you know, the readers that are out there, I mean, you see a lot of books out there, but there's hardly, I wouldn't say, the market isn't crowded with very good imaginative and things that would just take it to the ledge. and your book, it just, my son read it. He read the whole book. He can read really fast. And he loved it.
Uh-huh.
He loved it. He's like, wow, Dad, this is good. You got to get me more like this. So if you get him, if you get him, then you're done good, because he's real picky on all his books. And he loves to read. And I'm always getting books all the time in, and he'll go through and see which one that he wants to be able to take home and read for a little bit. And I tell you what, you captured him, and he said, this is really good. Tell him he did really good.
Wow, well, that's a high compliment, because I have two sons, 20 and 18, and I know they there's not a lot of posing. They'll tell you what they like or they don't like.
Oh yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, kids are honest, and he's 13, so that's not bad. Then you got someone that at that age that just really just, wow, this is pretty good. He goes, it'll make a good movie, Pop. That's what he told me.
I love that. Well, tell your son I love him.
Okay, yeah. His name's Nathaniel. Okay, I'll tell him. And so when you put your first book out there, did you cringe a little? Like, oh no, they're going to read this and they're not going to like it.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You go through all those emotions, and then you go back and forth between, oh, this is going to be so hard, and the other thing of, hey, you know, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm dead to myself. It's not about me anymore. It's about what God's calling me to do, and riding along with him in what he's doing. And then you go, hey, it doesn't matter. I'm obeying. I'm on this ride, and it doesn't matter what people think. So I don't always feel that way, but I try to.
And how successful was your first book?
Well, it was really successful. It hit the bestseller list. It won the RT Book Review Inspirational Novel of the Year. It won some USA Book of the Year award, and so it was nominated for two Carol Awards. And so it really, I was very fortunate, because that's the book that kind of kind of put me on the map and launched me. So, yeah, it worked
Amen.
Out well.
Isn't it awesome how God's plans work? if it was your plan, you would have been doing this well before 02. But
yeah, you're right. You're right. And my wife, who has always been just incredible support of me in my writing career, I would tell her in my 20s, I'd go, honey, I want to write. I want to write books and this kind of thing. And she'd go, hey, maybe it's not time yet. Maybe it's not time. And as I look back on that, there is some regret from not starting sooner. But at the same time, David, I don't think I could have written the books I've written if I'd tried to do it earlier.
Oh, amen. Amen. And I had another author on here a couple of weeks back, and he, similar to the situation, he thought he started a little late, but it was just the right time. I mean, he was seasoned.
Right.
He had a lot of characters that he just met over the life of working and knowing people, and he was able to make a better book now than he would have did before then. And I like what you said, that God told you, are you going to get that book out? Are you going to start writing for him? And that's true. I mean, it's better when God sends you than when you send yourself. And his hands with you.
Unless the Lord builds the house, right?
Now tell us, as you were starting to write the books and stuff, did you see God just pointing you in the directions? Because I've heard some authors come in and say that it's just like coming from heaven there, that you're just writing and writing and they can't stop. Did you get some of those moments?
Oh, I get those moments all the time.
Well, that's good.
That's how I write. And that's where you say, well, you've got this talent and that kind of thing. Isn't that great? And I go, well, yeah, but it's like you can't take a lot of pride in it, because it's like taking pride in the fact that you're tall. Well, you didn't do that. That was just the way God made you. Or, you know, or you're strong. That's just the way God made you. And the way I look at it, David, is this is a gift. This is a gift from God. And so when I write, I sit down and I have an idea, but I don't have anything outlined. I just transcribe the movie that's playing inside my head, and that's how the books come out.
Hey, that's how I write my sermons, so that's a good thing. That's just, it comes divinely from heaven that way. I really believe it. That's awesome. After the success of your first book, was it hard to get the second one out? Were you like, oh, man, I hope this meets expectation, anything like that?
Oh, huge, yeah, the sophomore slump. You know, can he do it again? I felt that. I thought, I put everything, all my creativity into Rooms, and I thought, how am I going to do this again? And then with Book of Days, I absolutely love that book. And that one ended up pouring out of me in the same way. And you go through this thing where you go, oh, the book isn't any good and it's horrible. And then a period of time goes by and you go back and you read it again. And you go, hey, this isn't half bad. And Book of Days was a success as well. And then after that came The Chair, and then Soul's Gate, and then now Memory's Door, my fifth book. So it really has flowed easier than I thought it would.
That's amazing. Any surprises along the way?
every day. Every day there's surprises in this writing world. It is very much a roller coaster, because there's a lot of emotion that goes into it. There's rejection that goes into it. And one of the things I am passionate about now that I've stepped into my dream is seeing other people step into their dream.
Amen.
And push through it and realize that there is going to be obstacles, there's going to be rejections along the way. If we believe the New Testament, which I happen to, you know, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He
Amen.
Wants to steal your dream. He wants to destroy your destiny. You know, the old cliche, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, so does the enemy have a wonderful plan
yeah.
for your life. And you have to realize that and say, nope, this is what God's called me to do. This is not going to necessarily be easy. I need to make the choice to press through.
Amen. Amen. And when you do that, it is something about knowing that you're in the will of God. When you know that you're in
yeah.
the will of God, oh, you're going to get through it. It's not going to be as hard as you thought it was going to be. Things are going to be easier. Decisions are going to be satisfying. You know, when you know, the devil can't move you when you know.
That's right. That's right. You may be buffeted. You know, that famous passage where Paul goes, hey, we've been pressed on every side, but we're not giving up hope, and we've been, you know, attacked, but we're persevering. And that's a really bad paraphrase, but I think, you know, here's a guy, Paul, that said, hey, nothing, shipwrecks, whatever it is, I'm not going to let it take me out, because I know I'm in his calling.
And that's his strength in itself, that to have that. So tell us about
yes.
Memory's Door. I'll tell you what, your cover is awesome. I hadn't seen the other books, but I know this cover was just, I'd be surprised if you don't win an award for your cover.
It was nice. This is, I'm with HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and the cover designer that's working for Thomas Nelson is just phenomenal. And yeah, just absolutely love the cover.
Yeah, I mean, it just right there tells you what this book's about. I mean, just the imagination that you need to read the book. I mean, it just tells you right when you look at the cover. Tell us some of the things in the book that you want the readers to get, or some of the themes that are in there.
Yeah, the overarching theme. This is a series. This is the second book of a 3-book series, and the overarching theme of the book, or the question of these books, is what if we could send our spirits into other people's souls to fight for their healing and freedom. And a lot of people go, Jim, are you saying that really can happen? Can we really do that? It's like, folks, it's fiction. It's a novel. It's a story. But if we could do that, David, I mean, think about that. We could go and fight for the freedom of people and wounds and things that have taken them out and things that have stopped them. And so the second book, while there's this huge epic theme going, these four warriors that are fulfilling this prophecy to, you know, set people in the world free, the deeper story is about regret and facing regrets. And it's my belief that everybody on the planet has regrets, things that they're going, oh, I wish I could go back and do that over, or I screwed that up, or, oh my gosh, I blew this relationship. Well, I think you can get free of that. I think you can get free of your past. And so at the heart, Memory's Door is a story about regret and getting free of regret. And it really came out of some deep regret and really a spiritual and personal crisis I was going through at the time I was writing it. And so it's almost like Memory's Door is almost like my personal journal, you know, working through some of my regrets.
Wow.
And getting free of those. So that's a long way of saying I want people, when they finish Memory's Door, to be free of those regrets they've held on to and that have held them back their whole life.
That's amazing. That's amazing, because a lot of us we do see things that, and I can think of many things that we wish we could have changed. And I know that this journey in your book, you know, it might provide some therapy or just kind of give someone some other insight of how things are today for them. The Bible stories that we have in the Word of God, is there biblical passages or events that are like evident in the Wellspring series?
Yeah, very much. It's interesting when people write to me about the Wellspring series, Soulsgate, and now Memory's Door. I'm starting to get these emails where people go, oh my gosh, I know it's fiction, but this book has driven me to the Word to find out the scriptures you're using. Is it really true? I've never seen the Word that way before. I've never seen that passage that way before. This is opening my eyes to things I've never seen. And I love hearing that.
Amen. Tell us about some of the characters. For those that haven't dived into the first book or this book, tell us about some of the characters they should expect and what they're going through.
Yeah, that's a great question, David, because people say, because I've got four main protagonists in the series, which is a lot to juggle, and yet it's really fun to do, because people go, well, how much of you is in your characters? It's like, well, there's a piece of me in every one of my characters. So you've got Reese Roth, who is this strong follower of Jesus, who was taken out 27 years ago, taken off his destiny, out of his path, and God has brought him back. And so he's kind of, you know, he's in his early 60s, but he's strong, and he's stepping into this role of training and leading the other warriors. And then you've got Dana Rain, who is a lady who's a general manager of a radio station, and she's going through her own struggles because she, not married, wants to be married, And yet she has been burned so badly by relationships, she's struggling, you know, how do I allow my heart to be open again? And she's very much a leader. She runs this radio station, but in the spiritual realm, she's not sure how much of a leader she can be, so she's wrestling with that. And then you've got Brandon Scott, who is this multi-million selling Christian recording artist. And his career is kind of starting to teeter, and he got so much value from being this superstar. He's struggling with the whole thing. Am I worth anything if I'm not this famous recording artist again? And so he's a fascinating character to me. And then last, you've got this guy, Marcus Amber, who is a physics professor. And he has written books on alternate realities and alternate universes and quantum mechanics and all this. Well, in Memory's Door, he's starting to think he might be slipping in and out of alternate reality. and so, you know, you've got these. And then in Memory's Door, I introduced this new character, Simon, who I think is fascinating. He's a street magician, and he has something to do with this battle that is coming against the Warriors. He has something to do with it, but they're not sure if he's on the right side or the wrong side. So you mix all those characters together, you definitely have some interesting situations.
I got to tell you, Marcus is my favorite character. I just liked him. I mean, just his whole personality and everything. I'm like, I like this guy. Especially when he's trying to differentiate from, is this happening or not happening? So
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Man, how many days do I feel like that? Well, yeah. You know, if these characters are part of your personality, brother, we're gonna keep you in play. No, I'm playing. That's amazing. So, did you get any? How long has the book been out? This one.
So the book just came out August 6th, so it's just been out just a little bit over a month now. And it's so the greatest thing as an author, David, is to get those emails from people that say, oh, my gosh, I could not put this book down. I was wildly entertained by it, but I'm still thinking about it a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, a month later. This book has changed the way I look at life. This book has changed my life. And then you go, oh, you know, I'm a success. I'm a success. If I've pushed you deeper into Jesus and opened your eyes, then that's a success.
Amen. Amen. And that's what I was going to ask you, if you had any testimonies and stuff, and that sounds like you're already getting them in. So you're changing, you're helping, and you're changing people's lives. And when you can do that with a literary work or a song or a video, you're doing God's plan.
I feel incredibly honored that Jesus would allow me to ride along with him in this thing and be part of this thing, because you can reach thousands of people this way, which would be difficult to do one-on-one. You can do that, and it's out there, and the cool thing is you don't know how many lives you're impacting. In other words, I'll get an email from somebody, oh my gosh, Jim, this book changed my life, and I passed it on to this friend and this friend. Well, you probably aren't going to hear from them, but they were probably impacted too. So you see this thing ripple out, and I probably won't know till eternity, you know, how many people I impacted, but it's so cool to be part of it.
It is. You know, in television, the general rule is, like, if one person calls in, like, to ask to tell praise report or something, that 100 didn't call in. So that's the general rule that we use in broadcasting. So you're impacting more than you think. Tell us about how faith can become harder with the influence of insight.
Say that again.
How can faith become harder with the influence of sight?
Oh, yeah. So sometimes when you have this faith and you see things, so we have this faith in Christ. And yet when we see how things are going to be lived out in the future, in other words, in America, for example, it's so safe and cozy here. We don't have to rely on faith as much. So when we can see things happening in front of us, or, oh, that's how that's going to work out, we don't have to use our faith as much. We don't have to rely on God as much. We don't have to hear his voice as much. And yet you go to the majority of third world countries and you talk to the Christians there, it's like, oh, yeah, we're not sure if we're eating today. We just have to have faith that that's going to happen, and we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to tell us what to do and where to go. So their faith is very active, whereas our faith sometimes can become a faith of rules and principles that we're following instead of that daily communication with the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's amazing, my brother. We're just about out of time, so I want you to share with everybody anything you want to share this last couple of minutes. Encourage them, and also give us your information that you want them to have, your website, how they can get the book, any contact information, Facebook.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I guess the thing I would want to tell people is, if you've had that dream you've always wanted to go after, if you feel like God has given you a destiny and you've been hesitant to step into it, I was there. I was there for many, many, many years, but I finally stepped in. I took the chance. I took the risk, and I would just encourage you, go for it, because he will be with you, and he will lead you along the way, and there will be such freedom. When I started stepping into this, I got a freedom I'd never known before, so I just encourage you, just step out. And then as far as the way people can get in touch with me, my website is probably the best place to go. That's James L. Rubart, RUBART, JamesLRubart.com. And then I'm on Facebook, James L. Rubart, and then on Twitter, at James L. Rubart. So those are probably the three best places to connect with me.
Amen, my brother. Well, I was really looking forward for this interview, and I tell you what, I'm not disappointed at all. I think I even called you last week on your home line. I had the wrong date. So I was like, oh, well, it's next week. I'll see you. But I was so ready to get this one going because I really felt touched by your book, and I just want to encourage you to keep writing. We're out here. We're loving, you know, your imagination. Only you have your imagination, brother, and just like only I have my imagination. So it's good to see what God uses you for.
Well, I appreciate the support so much, David. What a pleasure to get to know you a little bit, and hopefully we'll be in touch.
Amen. Well, if you're at the ICRS or NRB, I'm usually there every year, and I'm recording and doing video and stuff. So you're more than welcome to jump on the show again with me. Or if you'd like to talk throughout the year, just tell your publicist to give us a holler, and we'll get you back on the show.
All right. I love it.
All right.
Love it, David.
God bless. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Amen and amen. That was Mr. James Rubart. Got his name correctly. And he's a great broadcast, great interview. I mean, that time went quick. It went quick. And whenever it goes quick, that means, hey, we're doing a good job of just communicating and just becoming friends. And that's just what you expect and what you want and all your guests. And he's one of the top ones that we've had, I got to tell you. Okay, we'll see you next time. I want to thank James L. Rubart for being a part of the show. Go to www.jameslrubart.com and get his book. I'm enjoying it, Memory's Door, but also get the series. Get the rest of them. Get the one that he started with and see what God does in your life. God bless you, my friends. Thank you for listening to Midwatch. Write me at david@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.